Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
So, Sat, I'm hearing from the higher-ups that you caused a lot of controversy with your interview over this past weekend.
So, mate, I don't see the real competition with WrestleTalk because I think their fan base legitimately is a hardcore fan base. So there's like a ceiling, a built-in ground to that viewership. But here on Wrestling Daily, it's trying to connect with everyone. We're trying to connect with the mainstream. We're trying to pull in the casual fan. We're trying to engage with new viewers. Heck, we're doing 30 minutes while they're also servicing their hardcore fan base and giving them compelling stories. I mean, look at Pete Quinnell, for example. He calls himself the Jam That Champion. You can't be Jam That Champion when you don't face Sat E. Nyangi, the All Afraid of Us, SP Freak. Why can you not see that? There's a reason why. None of them want to step in the ring with us. None of them want to take us on. Because they are afraid of us. I could chuck that sucker away. I'm 6'1", 221 pounds. Pete Quinnell, I could chuck him like pancakes. I could throw the rest of these guys. Give me Ollie. I could chuck any one of them.
You do realize that no one from Wrestling Daily has been on Quizzlemania since you got here, right?
What?
Hello, hello, hello. It is me, your true heel phenom, SP3. We are back again to start a new week right here on Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily with your favorites. When bourbon meets espresso, it is Mocha Mondays, and I am back in the saddle again with WrestleTalk's public enemy number one, Mommy Nyangi's baby boy, Sat E.
Is that official? I'm public enemy number one. Is that true? Let me do the usual. Sat E. Nyangi. It was meant to rhyme. The E stands for entitled. Entitled in what way, you guys are thinking? Entitled to my own freaking opinion, guys. A lot of you guys say I got bad takes. Is it like badass takes or is it horrible takes? But it doesn't matter. Everyone's entitled to one. And I'm going to share it with all of you guys. Yes.
Yes, we are here to start off another week, 5 days of Wrestling Daily content right here on the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel. You'll see the titular news. We're going to be talking about WWE slashing ticket prices against AEW with their better ticket sales. We're going to be talking about Retro Raw returning, a character change to a polarizing character, to say the least, in WWE, plus a little bit from this past weekend. But you guys know what to do to have your opinion, to have your voice be heard. WrestleTalk.com/Wrestling Daily. Send us an ultra chat. We want to hear from you guys. We want to know what you thought about the weekend in wrestling, what you thought about our cold open, what you think about these cold opens. I think we're 2 for 2 so far, Zach. We're 2 for 2. And of course, throw a thumbs up on this video, share it on all your favorite social media platforms, and hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to stay notified if you are new to the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel. But let's get right to it, Sad. The titular news is all about WWE slashing ticket prices against AEW, because both shows will be having their flagship shows. We got WWE Raw going to the UBS Arena in my home state, New York, in Long Island. And AEW Dynamite will also be going to Long Island in December. The Raw is going to be on November 29th. And it seems like AEW is blowing WWE out the water in regards to ticket sales so far. They have about, WWE has about 3,130 tickets so far out of their allotted 7,100, which is only about 44%, while AEW Dynamite in the same arena has distributed 7,639 tickets out of a possible 9,699, which is about 80%. So WrestleTix says that they just noticed a major shift in pricing for the WWE event. In some cases, the prices have been cut in half. Previously, upper decks were about $30 plus, and some are now available for $15. So do you like this this strategy by WWE cutting their ticket prices to compete with AEW or try to get as many tickets as AEW has out currently? What do you think about it?
Well, I think that currently the WWE product is very, very hot. Garbage.
I was about to say, you almost got me there.
Hey, listen. As much as my takes are polarizing, even I can see that WWE right now. I mean, I had a conversation with a friend of mine this past weekend. Shout out to Sam Puncher. I likened, because he's never watched AEW to this day. And I went to him, watching AEW is like when, you remember when Family Guy was hot?
Yeah.
It's like watching Family Guy when it was hot, and then you go back and you watch Simpsons, and it looks very stale. She got cancelled a long time ago. I'm not saying WWE should get cancelled, but WWE is the Simpsons in my example. It's just that when you watch WWE, when you see Madcap Moss with his crappy, cringy jokes, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go back and watch wrestling. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, AEW did try the talk show thing with, you know, Britt Baker, and they kind of stopped it a little bit, but I'm watching WWE stuff. It's stale. It's like they got like because I'm jumping all over the place with examples. Sean Waltman, aka X-Pac, spoke recently how men in over the age of 60 should not be writing for the, you know, younger demographic, and I think he's right, and it's showing as well, because all the ideas is very recycled. It's like, all right, we need another contract signing, we need a crappy interview segment, we need now a 2-minute women's match, we need to bury someone. Some guy's not getting over. Maybe his real life fiance will help him get him over. No. We come up with a different idea. It's just the WWE are chasing the casual demographic. That's what it's all been about. They want the mainstream audience, so they go for the casual audience. AEW, they're not shy with the fact that they got a hardcore demographic, and it's showing in the ticket sales that the hardcore wrestling fans, they want to watch wrestling. They don't want to go there with their tickets and be disappointed, and they look at their hands, man. Why do I have this ticket? This ticket equates to toilet paper. Let me wipe my ass with it.
Pretty much. That's actually a really good assessment, and bringing up the Sean Waltman comment that, you know, you have 60-year-olds writing the scripts, but at the end of the day, it all goes through a 70-plus-year-old man in Vince McMahon. Like, he does not have his fingers on the pulse of the key demographic.
He's barely alive.
Yes.
He's doing cryogenics. Every time they wheel him out with his penciled on eyebrows, with his skin turning even more grayer. Bless the corpse of Vince McMahon to keep moving ventriloquist style.
Bless his heart. We are not taking away from any of the genius that Vince McMahon has produced. You know, a lot of the reason why we're wrestling fans is because of what he did when we were kids.
30 years ago.
You're not kids anymore, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a difference when he is the last line of defense. He's the guy that's signing off on everything. And then the competition has a 39-year-old who's much closer to our age and the age of the key demographic, the 18 to 49 demo. He has his finger on the pulse. And the other thing is that the big difference between Vince and Tony Khan right now is that this McMahon has tried to shy away from professional wrestling for what seems like 20, 25 years. He's sports entertainment, probably longer than that. He said he likes to make movies. He wants WWE to be that type of genre. He's competing with everybody else. He's not competing with Tony Khan and AEW. He's competing with everybody else. He's competing with Disney, with Marvel, and stuff like that. While Tony Khan is a professional wrestling fan, and you see that within the product, and we saw that over the weekend. But this competition is always, you know, whether it's the Friday Night War that went down between SmackDown and AEW Rampage, or whether it's the ticket sales, I think it's always going to be beneficial for the fans. Because like you said, Sad, now the fans have a choice that if WWE is not the product that you want to go see, or the not the popular ticket to sell, I know me myself, I can have the opportunity to go to that Long Island event. And if I'm going to spend my money, it doesn't, regardless if it's a $30 ticket for the upper deck or $15 ticket for the upper deck, I don't see myself wanting to go sit down through a 3-hour Raw. My wife and me, we went to the last Monday Night Raw in Madison Square Garden when it had Stone Cold Steve Austin there. And it was a cool time to be there with my wife. It was cool to be there with one of my friends that had never went to a wrestling event. But for me, someone that, you know, watches wrestling every single week, that has a job within wrestling now, that's not what I'm going to spend my money on. I want an experience. And the experience right now is AEW. When you watch that show and you see the crowd and you see how invested the crowd is, whenever, I think for the past like 15, probably 20 years since WCW and AEW has went down, WWE crowds are most rowdy when they're fighting against WWE. This AEW, the big difference is their crowd is fighting for AEW. They're not fighting with AEW. They're fighting for. They want to be loud for the product, to make the product look engaging. And that's the big difference between the two sides right now to me.
100%, I agree. And I feel like the tide is shifting. The fact that WWE is struggling to sell tickets, I think it was mentioned that Vince McMahon has just lost the urge. He's lost the urge to fight, because he's won that one war that happened, you know, 19, 20 years ago. Yeah, 20 years ago.
20 years ago now.
Yeah. So in his mind, like, you know, I did.
Next month makes 20 years exactly since Survivor Series 2001. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So in his mind, he's like, you know, I did what I needed to do. I've made a lot of money. I think in his mind, he's in the money business now. He's not in the business of entertaining us. He's like, what can I do to milk enough deals for my grandkids? Because I'm not going to be in this earth for too long. I need to milk enough money for my grandkids, because I don't give a F about wrestling. I don't give a F about y'all. I don't even give a F about who should take over after I'm gone. So yeah, so Vince McMahon's in the money game, while Tony Khan is in a game of creating a legacy within the wrestling industry. He's like us, guys. He was a fantasy booker once upon a time. You know, he used to come to Tony Flair. He used to go into AOL chats and talk about his favorite wrestlers. And now, because he has money, in everyone's mind, he's all of us. He's the smart, as they call him. And he's doing a good job so far. He's whooping ass because, you know, he studied from the best, including Vince himself, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And when he gave it on,
you see that he's learned from Vince McMahon, he's learned from Ted Turner, he's learned from Eric Bischoff,
Dixie Carter. Let's not forget her.
Yeah, for sure. All the past promoters, he's learned and taken a little bit from, and that's why AEW is the side with the momentum. And even WWE, I would say, like, SmackDown on Friday was an improved show because they were going against AEW, but I had a lot more faults with the SmackDown show than I did with the AEW show, because overall, it doesn't seem like they are booking a product for me, the hardcore wrestling fan. Like the take on the promo that you did in the cold open from Roman Reigns. They're trying to get fans that aren't.
Hold on. Roman Reigns, he was doing a take of me. That he went into the future. He saw the smack I was going to talk today, and he went back. He was, I like this guy's style. I'm going to take a few and put in my promo. That's what happened. Just let you guys
that
know.
That is true. That is true. You are the money promo here on Wrestling Daily.
Okay. I'm cutting the flow. I'm not a money promo. I'm a real life person. When I talk, I actually talk like this in real life. This ain't no promo, man. What's a promo? I live in real life. Where's a promo? When I go to work and I imagine I went to my boss, I'm going to cut a promo on you. She'll be like, you want a promotion? No, like, I'm gonna cut a promo on your ass.
I'm gonna like you're, yeah, you have that voice for your inner monologues, like you're Joe Goldberg and you.
Stephen A. Smith, man. Don't call me. That's not. Nah, I'm more Stephen A. Smith. I'm more memeable.
Thank you. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But we got a little bit more news to get into. Also, some news that came out today from WrestleVotes is apparently that Mr. Karrion Kross, a very polarizing, divisive figure in the wrestling world, he's going to undergo another character change, apparently. So WrestleVotes, according to them, the new character will be a calm and cold psycho, which will be a bit like his character back in NXT and before NXT in Impact Wrestling and Lucha Underground.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, he was Killer Kross. They can't call him Killer. They can't call him Killer.
SB, tell me you've never seen Killer Kross without telling me you've never seen Killer Kross. Someone said, I got a great idea. It's like saying when Brian Pillman came in 96, I got a great idea. Let's call him the Lunatic Fringe or something like that. It's kind of like that's his deal. Killer Kross from Mexico, Lucha Underground when he was a White Rabbit, and when he was in TNA or sorry, Impact Wrestling, GFW, heck, whatever they were calling themselves at the time. That's the kind of character he played and thrived on. That's what people have been wanting from day one. We did not want bondage, demolition, kink.
Well, let's read the full tweet from WrestleVotes here. Sources
continue, sir.
States WWE is shifting Karrion Kross character once again. Plan is for him to be more of a psycho, yet still calm and cold. As of now, the helmet stays. That was the key part that I wanted to read of this tweet. The helmet is going to stay, but for whatever reason, still no Scarlett Bordeaux. Presentation of entrance, including theme song, set to change as well. Do you think that the missing element for Karrion Kross, what do you think it's been the most? Has it been this ridiculous outfit? Is it the Scarlett Bordeaux not being with him just totally hurts his presentation? Or is it the bonehead move of him losing to Jeff Hardy and people just still can't get over that?
You know what? I want to say it's all the above, but at the same time, this is something that's really, really important to stress out that people don't understand. Killer Kross, Karrion Kross, can't actually succeed without Scarlett. The only time, funnily enough, that he's probably been aligned with her is during his WWE NXT kind of run, because he'd be mostly by himself. He was part of a trio with Austin Aries and Moose. He did stuff in Mexico with, you know, Conan and stuff like that. So he's actually existed by himself before. It's just like this presentation that they put him in, they made him a package deal with Scarlett Bordeaux. It's this character, it's the music, the whole presentation is missing Scarlett. And it's kind of missing the spark because, yeah, they're giving him backstage promos to do. That's recently. But before that, he was just coming out, barely any reaction. He's the kind of guy he should have been given a spooky promo. Heck, build him up for 6 months like Brachios or something like that, but debut him. They could have just done that, you know, build you love. I'm coming in today with that's
so many references. So many.
Why
references.
Not?
If you know, you know. But
yeah, exactly, I don't care. Exactly. If you're born in 2000, it shows. If you're born in 2001, it shows well. Anyway, yeah, Karrion Kross is a great. I like Killer Karrion Kross. You know, I like his inspiration because he likes the David Lynch films. He likes the spooky atmosphere. Yeah, he's not a work rate guy, but all the hardcore wrestling demographic decide to attack him because he's not one. He's a throwback to what Vince used to like. He's the kind of guy that would have done great in OVW, FCW, and so forth. And he's the kind of guy that would be a WrestleMania main eventer. Roman Reigns need more guys. People are not complaining that Roman's got no one to beat right now because there's hardly anyone there. Karrion Kross, if you build him up as a monolithic, you know, individual, he can do well. And if they want to change him, I'm up for it. That means they want to do something with him. People cry when they do nothing with him. He loses to Jeff Hardy. Then they change up his presentation. Oh, you change up his presentation. It's Vince McMahon because he probably wasn't happy. And now he may get into the version that he may like. Stone Cold Steve Austin changed characters twice in 1996. Yeah, we're going to a third change, but I don't know if it's a third change because he debuted as a gladiator. So technically, he's gone back to the original character in my mind. But Stone Cold, if it's 96, people be tweeting, oh, Steve Austin's buried. Ringmaster, you never really gave him a chance. Stone Cold, he's bald now.
I don't think anybody would be like, you never gave the Ringmaster. That was a dumb name from Jump. Let me just say that.
No, but the thing is, it's the fear of the unknown because we don't know if this Karrion Kross character will find click on all cylinders. It's easy to talk hindsight 2020, but when Stone Cold shifted, it didn't really match being with Ted DiBiase. He could have said it doesn't work. No. He's trying to act like a badass. Stunning Steve trying to act like a badass. You know, someone from WCW say, Stunning Steve, this guy trying to be a badass? It's not going to work. But all I'm saying is wrestling fans, let's give it a chance. I want to see it. Like NXT 2.0, people are complaining. Now people kind of like it. It's like that weird Eurotrash show you're watching.
I mean, to each his own.
You say you don't like it. You're saying you're forced to watch it.
I'm forced to watch it because I do a show on Wednesdays here. So it's kind of like I have to watch in case that's a part of the news that we're going to discuss.
You don't like
here.
Anything about it?
I like Braun Breaker and the ironic meme-ness of Tony D'Angelo. And Carmelo Hayes is one of my favorites from over here on the East Coast, wrestling scene. Hit Row was, but now they're going to the main roster. But
there might be heels.
Yes. We can talk about that. But let's hear your opinion on Karrion Kross or the WWE versus AEW conversation with the ticket price cut. WrestleTalk.com/wrestlingdaily. But yes, we should bring up another part of the WWE versus AEW story that went on during the week. Not only the Friday Night Wars, but before that, Mr. Top Dollar, the newly called up Top Dollar, got himself in a Twitter hustle with the one, the only, the Young Bucks, claiming that they only wear sneakers on camera to seem cool and hip. And then the Young Bucks responded saying that they spend more on sneakers in the month of September than the entire NXT roster. Then Top Dollar came out with a diss track, which the best part about it wasn't even the lyrics that he said, was that he used the beat "Let Me In" by Young Buck. I gotta hand it to you, Top Dollar. That's using your head. But the conversation that me and Sat had on social media, we got into a Twitter back and forth, a respectful one, but a Twitter back and
respect
forth.
You, man.
Of course.
The thing is, I'm living a distant kind of person on social media because I have a life outside of social media and I have to interact with people in real life. Some people act like you wouldn't, that energy they give on social media, they wouldn't do that in real life because I will headbutt some people in real life. I don't mess in real life. But anyway, SP, you can answer this question, what Top Dollar said. You've met the Young Bucks. I've never met them in my life. I've never seen them in person. What were they wearing on their feet? Was Top Dollar
they always been wearing J's? Like, that was the whole thing. Like, the matchup with the Lucha Bros at All Out with them having the sneaker with the thumbtacks, that's not a new thing. They did that in PWG almost like a decade ago against Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae. I know people that live in LA. Shouts out to Professor Chris from the NWA podcast. We should mention NWA podcast will be joining Alex on Friday, but he's met the Young Bucks in person. and they always are rocking J's. So it's not to seem cool and hip. It's just something that they've like made more a part of their character now that they're heels on a mainstream level. That's why I love Top Dollar. I interact with him a lot on social media. And I said it on social media and I'll say it here. He should actually get more heat for One Must Go and how he's splitting up the Black community with his One Must Go gimmick, him and Shane Taylor. They are the real villains of all of this. He should have got more heat for that than even what he said on Twitter. But I feel like it just got blown out of proportion. But the back and forth didn't even change from WWE to AEW between me and you. We want to know from you, and you know, send an ultra chat, put your thoughts in the live chat. Is Hit Row babyface or heel? Because I've been watching NXT 2.0. Like I said, I kind of have to watch, and they've been babyfaces for about a month and a half now. They've been feuding SB, with the heel faction.
It's not true. SB, okay, I'm so glad we're finally on here. Okay, let me explain something to you. All right, this is where I'm coming at. Nothing, just what I tweeted you when Stone Cold allegedly switched allegiance. All it did is change opponents. Hit Row never came out and start high-fiving, hey, wherever sit we are. They didn't pander to the crowd. All they did is start fighting Phantasma. You know, Legado de Phantasma.
They're fighting heels. They get cheered by the fans.
They're anti-heroes. He smells like a heel. He looks like a heel. And he talks like a heel. He's an anti-hero because they're too cool for school. They're Razor Ramon.
Did you watch SmackDown this week? Hands. Did you watch SmackDown this week with Michael Cole praising them and being so happy that they're coming to the main roster? They are baby faces, ladies and gentlemen. They're
anti-heroes.
Oh, will you stop? Anti-hero is a babyface, ladies.
Okay,
and
me and you argue because I said Rhea Ripley was a babyface of the Royal Rumble. Then she came on as a heel. I'm saying whatever they're aligned with in the beginning, NXT or Royal Rumble, it changes.
But what I told you on social media, I will tell you here. You are not acknowledging what they've been presented as for weeks now. And Annika Wilson, I appreciate you. You are one of my favorite good eggs, but there's no such thing as tweeners in WWE. There's just no such thing. You're either baby.
There was a tweener. His name was, he's not that man. He's not that guy. He's that guy. That's it. Roman Reigns.
No, look at Roman Reigns.
They tried it. You know when they tried it after Undertaker. They tried it.
And John Aries, don't give me AEW logic when we're talking about something with WWE. It's not the same thing. It's just not the same thing.
I like this. John, do some more. He's living up to his true heel name. Usually he's so professional because he tried to be professional, you know, opposite me because I'm flipping chaos. Someone has to put me in a leash or I'm going to flipping swerve this entire podcast off the cliff. Yes, push his buttons.
No, I'm just saying. I like John Aries' response. Fair enough. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
John pushes buttons.
One last news bit announced today by Andrew Zarian of the Mattman podcast. WWE is going to be bringing back Retro Raw and is set to return in January. Do you see this as another ploy to get some ratings set? Or do you have a legend in mind that you would like to see appear on Retro Raw that's coming back in January?
Listen, this is always known as WWE's desperate bid. They got two desperate bids, guys. It's two. One, Retro Raw. Two, bring back the McMahons. Three, Retro Raw. Four, bring back the McMahons. Five, Retro Raw. Six, bring back the McMahons. And then when you go to them, Karrion Kross is not getting over. What can we do? Make him the third member of the Basham Brothers. No, give him his valet. So basically, WWE, I think it goes back to creative. And when Sean Waltman said it, for some weird reason, it's like it hit the nail on their head. I was like, they need fresh writers. Vince McMahon needs to accept the fact that he should collect his money, chill in his infamous swimming pool, and just not get involved. We need younger people, fresh blood, fresh ideas. We did this a couple of years ago. All they're doing is advertising to AEW. This is a potential legend you can take off our hands. Hey, Randy, which one should we kick off next? I mean, who's left? Jeff Hardy. You know, who knows when his contract's coming up? Maybe, you know, hit him and then next year he leaves or something like that. It's terrible. It's terrible. I hate the idea.
Jeff Hardy is so desperate for ideas or something new for them to give him. He actually did an interview where he said he's willing to go heel. And after his Antichrist gimmick in TNA, that's the last thing I want to see. Any TNA fans, you know what I'm talking about. Remember that championship? Remember Immortal? No, no, no. I don't want to see that.
And also, while we're at it, for everyone that spoke ill of Becky Lynch's wrestling ability, I want you guys to come back with your tail tucked between your legs and ask for forgiveness, because she did a great job against Sasha Banks. Yeah, yeah. It's Sasha Banks, because I feel like Sasha Banks used the same style of match she had with Bianca at WrestleMania and translated that on SmackDown, which was fast-paced. It was relentless. There was barely any rest holds for too long. I will say it was Sasha who probably mapped out the match, but Becky kept up. That's a sign of someone that I can actually work in the ring. Yeah, of all the four horsewomen, she's number four in terms of wrestling skills, but she's not rubbish, guys.
No,
some of you guys were capping hard.
But I think the reason they were capping is because this heel character is still not working. She still cuts promos like a baby face. It's just not clicking at all. But we should, before we finish things off on this edition of Wrestling Daily, we got to get to our Ultra Chat here from the one and only an elite good egg, the Zornice, who says, wasn't there talk that the ticket sale war was unfair because AEW has lower prices in general? Yes, it was. And was WWE not proud to have a quality product? And then they do the little emoji there. Nice touch, the Zornice. And Zornice says, now they let's see if dumping prices helped them. Have you enjoyed all wrestling at the weekend, gentlemen? I have, the Zornice. You made great points in that Ultra Chat as well. Yes, WWE going back on what they originally, put their chin up, like we have higher ticket prices than AEW. Now you got to lower it to catch up to AEW. It is kind of funny, but
it's the hot garbage. That's why
I really enjoyed this weekend in wrestling. I like the WWE versus AEW. Like I said, SmackDown was much better. You just said it, Sat. The Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks match was great. I love the final segment with Brock Lesnar playing mind games with Roman Reigns. Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor was really good. The less said about the Queenstown Crown Tournament, the better. But I say AEW Rampage was actually better on Friday because, my Lord, if you haven't already, go out of your way to see Minoru Suzuki versus Bryan Danielson. For someone who has one-year-olds, this was the hardest match to watch because I have to do the audible, the inaudible screams. And just like, it got me so hyped, so excited to watch the show, so excited to review it on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. And then Saturday Night Dynamite was also very good. Dante Martin versus Malakai Black was a really good matchup. So was Bobby Fish versus Bryan Danielson. But I said it on True Hill Heat YouTube channel. We'll sign off with this thought, Sat. What did you think about these two back-to-back promos? Miro talking down to God for him losing the TNT championship. I never started laughing more at someone calling God out for forsaking him. And then the Hangman Page cowboy S-word promo, which was an amazing babyface promo. What did you think about those?
Oh, listen, Miro is fantastic. I'm going to borrow what Sean Ross Sapp says. Miro makes the most out of 90 seconds more than anyone, and he gets his point across quickly. He gets his character across. I feel like it's more he wanted an answer, and I like it how he likened it to like when Kane in 98, I'm gonna wreck everyone until I get a response for why you've forsaken me. And now he can't go to his wife until he's redeemed. I love that. And in terms of Hangman Adam Page, it's weird. I've heard Hangman Adam Page talk before, but it's like, it was like the first time that he was put on the spotlight. I feel like it was like a main eventer test for him. He's like,
yeah,
can he cut a promo in front of people and get over and hold people's attention? Tick, 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 tick. Fantastic promo, heartfelt. He was relatable. He was everything that people love about Hangman Adam Page. Doesn't come across as arrogant. Doesn't come across as better than you. He's this, you know, cowboy just doing his southern boy, this good old boy doing his thing. And then all it did, it made me root for him even more. AEW Steve Borden, he passed the test. Like, and let's hope that he doesn't drop the ball like Steve Borden did in 1998.
or Starrcade 1997, where he cheated to win. But yes. I totally agree with you. And for newer AEW fans, they told the story they've been telling since day one with Hangman Page and how his destiny is to become the AEW world champion. But because of he's had so much failures, he wasn't the regular babyface of saying he's going to win the title. He just told you he's going to try his hardest. He's going to say he's going to have some tears, whether he wins or loses, and he's going to try to get the job done, but he's going to do it with the fans behind there. Back, but great promos, great weekend of wrestling, and a great edition of Mocha Mondays with Sat E and SP3. Thank you, Sat, as always. Always a good time with you, brother.
Listen, my takes were great today, guys. I don't know what you're talking about. Super takes. Follow me on Twitter at Sat Next To. Me and SP3 been watching you like we're getting paid for it. And, you know, I've been tweeting him. He's been liking my tweets, not responding to me because he's got nothing to add to it. In his mind, I said, well, I said, Sat, I don't need to respond to you. I can agree with you. But yeah, you, season 3 on Netflix. I've watched it. Have you watched it? Tweet me. Let's talk about old wrestling or films. I'll talk about everything. Super takes. All the way.
Yes. If you want a member special of me and Sad talking about you season 3, let us know and become a good egg, a part of the Wrestling Daily community. Sat will see you tomorrow with Alex McCarthy. I will see you on Wednesday with Alex. It is me, your true old phenom SP3, and this has been Mocha Mondays.